today is a continuation of last week. We left off speaking to you about the first chapter in the first book of Kings. And we were speaking to you of David, how that he had become old and how that he was upon his deathbed. We gave you a little definition of what happens when a person gets old and what takes place with such a person. And now we find that David, he had a son by the name of Adonijah. This son was the fourth son born unto David by Haggith. This son, he has a beautiful name, a wonderful name. The name means, the Lord is my God. The first part of his name, Adonai, means my Lord, Master. The last part of his name, J-A-H, means Jehovah. A wonderful name. And still, we may believe that he knew not this wonderful God whose name he bore. This man, Adonijah, he was a good-looking young man. He was a brother of Absalom. And his father, he had never said anything against him. He never spoke to him and admonished him and warned him against things that he was doing. The Bible teaches us that David admired this young man and that he was silent to him where he should have spoken to him as a father would to any child that does things that are inconsistent. David then was faulty in this respect. Have I parents here? Are you faulty in this respect? How many could put their hand in their bosom and say, I'm not guilty? Have you children? Do they do things which you see are wrong? Do you speak to them? Do you warn them? Do you admonish them in love? Or do you just let the thing slide by and say, what's the use of having trouble? What's the use of having an argument? What's the use of having the child rebel against me? In all probabilities, this was the reason why David did not speak up to Adonijah. All my hearers, if you have children, you will have to give an account someday of how that you brought your children up. You will have to answer to God for this. Or may you not do like David, but may you in all honesty and in all sincerity speak to your children and warn them in love and turn them from the paths of sin, if possible, to lead them on the right way which leadeth to everlasting life. And now we find that this son, he exalted himself, and he says, I will be king. He didn't wait until God made him king. He didn't wait to see what the purposes of God were concerning him. He exalted himself, and he said, I will be king. Now this man, Adonijah, he's something like you and I. He was impatient. He couldn't wait. He was in line to be king. According to the way kings are put upon the throne, he should have been king automatically. But he knew of the oath that David had made unto Bathsheba, and in pride and in impatience, he exalted himself. And what did he do? He gathered chariots together and he got 50 men to run before him and he made a feast. Now, when he began to do this, it appears that Joab, the captain in David's army, and likewise Abiathar the priest, they followed him. The reason that they followed him was is because they knew that he was next in line to be king. But Nathan the prophet and Zadok the priest and Benaiah and the mighty men that were on David's side, They did not follow Adonijah. And Adonijah, he went down to a certain place, and he made a feast. And he invited all the king's sons to come there. But he did not invite Nathan, or Solomon, or Zadok the priest, or Benaiah. But he did invite Joab, and Abiathar, and others of the king's sons to this feast. You know, it is customary, even today, if you want to get somewhere in the world, you want to be lifted up, if you give a feast and invite prominent people to the feast, you are then well liked, and at the same time, you are seeking their favor and seeking an opportunity to be exalted. This is what Adonijah did. And now while they were feasting and eating, it appears that Nathan got word that Adonijah was doing this. Nathan the prophet. And he went to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and he spake unto her and said, "Knowest thou not that Adonijah reigneth?" Now, he says, "Go in to David, and speak unto David, and remind him of the oath that he has made unto you. Because if you do not do this, probably both of you, your son and you, will be killed." So he gave her counsel, wise counsel, to go in and speak unto David, who was upon his bed in a dying condition. She went in. And as she entered into the chamber, David asked her what her message was, why she came. And she spake unto him and reminded him that he had sworn by the Lord that he would put Solomon upon the throne in his place. And now Adonijah, he reigneth. And doth not the king know anything about this? It appears that he did not, or that Adonijah had done this secretly without any word to David that he was going to do this. And now when she had got done speaking and saying unto him that the eyes of all Israel were upon him and were waiting for him to say who should be king in his place, and that if he did not place her son upon the throne, why then they would be counted probably offenders and their lives would be taken. As she finished speaking to him, Nathan came in, the prophet, and he likewise began to speak unto David concerning what Adonijah was doing, just as if David had given permission unto Adonijah to do this, and Nathan knew anything about it. He spake likewise in the same terms as Bathsheba. And when he got through speaking, then David sat up on his bed, and he spake and said, "Call me Bathsheba, call me Zadok, and call me Benaiah, the man that was in the place of Joab." And they came in, and he said, As I have sworn by the Lord, who hath redeemed me out of all distress, this day I will place Solomon upon the throne in my place." And he commanded that these men, Nathan the prophet, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah, should get his mule, and place Solomon upon it, and take him to Gihon, and there they should anoint him to be king. And now all this was done in haste, my hearers. There was haste necessary because the people were all in suspense. They didn't know who was going to be the king. And just as soon as they had proclaimed that Adonijah was king, the people would have fallen right behind him and would have had him on the throne. And therefore Nathan done this very quickly. And we find David acting immediately that very day. And they took this man, Solomon, placed him on David's mule, took him to this place, and Zadok the priest went into the tabernacle, and got a horn of oil and anointed Solomon and made him king in the place of David. David consenting to this, and we find after they had anointed him, then the people began to shout, "God save the king." And they played with trumpets and with musical instruments that the earth rang. And now this sound was heard by Adonijah and the guests that he had invited to this dinner. Joab, he said, "What is the noise of this tumult and the noise of the trumpet in the city?" He heard things going on. We're not too far away. And then came a messenger, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, and he came and gave them to know just what had taken place, that they had taken Solomon and had made him king, David giving his approbation upon it, and David being glad to see that while he was yet living, he saw one of his sons sitting upon the throne and ruling over Israel. And now when this message came to these group of people, why we find instead of them arising and saying, "Adonijah is king," they all became afraid. And they all scattered and they all left this feast that they were having. Even Adonijah himself, who was lifted up in pride and presumption, it was all gone and he was filled with fear. And he went to the altar, to the tabernacle, and he took hold of the horn of the altar for fear of Solomon, who was now king. This place where Adonijah fled to, it was a place of refuge. There were four horns on the altar. These horns were used by the people when they came up to sacrifice. If you read Psalm 118, you have a definition of bind the sacrifices unto the horns of the altar. This was done so that the sacrifices would not slide off the altar and would not fall on the ground. Therefore, Adonijah took hold of one of these horns. This place was for the Jews a place of refuge. And here he was, filled with fear. And he sent word to Solomon and begged that Solomon would not take his life. And Solomon commanded to bring him down from the altar and to bring him before him. And when he came before Solomon, then Solomon sent him home and said that if there was wickedness found in him, then he would surely be punished. And we find that Adonijah, his life was spared. And now we find Solomon reigning upon the throne of Israel. It was the purpose of God that Solomon should be king. And Solomon then, he reigning upon this throne, he was given by God such excellent majesty, such glory, that all the sons of David, they acknowledged him to be king, and that all the people likewise loved him and proclaimed him to be king. And Solomon loved the Lord and walked in the ways of his father. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers. Solomon then was placed upon the throne instead of David. And now David, he is old. He is feeble. He has no expectation that he shall live any longer. David is on his deathbed, and he invites Solomon to come to him. The time for David to die was nearby. And my hearers, solemn thought, very solemn. That David was a man after God's own heart. And David had lived 70 years here upon earth. 40 years he had been king over Israel. And now he drew nigh to the time that he must die. My hearers, The time is drawing nigh for you and I likewise that we must die. We know not how soon. Death is certain and the hour is very uncertain. Whether we be a king or a queen, whether we be a prince, or whether we be a ruler, or whether we be a subject, we all must die. And what a blessing if in this life that has taken place with us as it did with David. When David was a young boy, it pleased God to come down into his heart and put grace into his soul. David, he loved the Lord, and he walked in all the ways of the Lord continually. This glorious God in heaven above made choice of David from all eternity. And David, he likewise had composed many songs and many psalms as we have them in this precious book. David, he wrote in one of the psalms that the name of the righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. But it is written likewise that the name of the wicked shall rot. The name of David is still in existence. This man who is loved by all God's people and who find the prayers and the songs and the psalms so suitable for their condition, or they find so many times the desires and the longings that David had are also in their hearts. And now David, he's almost brought to the end of his life. How shall it go with you and I, my hearers? David was privileged to have a deathbed. How many do not even have a deathbed today? How many are violently taken away by an accident? Do we not read of it daily in the paper? How many are taken away by strokes, cut down by heart attacks? How many likewise are killed and murdered? Oh, my hearers, in the midst of a dying world, you and I are still alive, are still healthy and well, and able to come up yet to his house. What maketh you and I to differ? That good God in heaven above. For we are no better than others who are taken away. Oh, solemn thought, my hearers, to be prepared when time shall come to an end for us here upon earth. And now we find David calling his son Solomon to his side, and he gives him a charge, and he speaks unto his son and commands him to walk in all the ways and in all the ordinances and in all the commandments of God as he had done before. Oh, David, he had loved the Lord. He loved his law. We sing thereof sometimes, but it was in the heart of David. Oh, how love I thy law. Has it ever been in your heart that way, my hearers? Oh, David, and he wanted his son likewise to love that same Lord, to obey him, to walk in his ways, and to be obedient unto his laws and to his commandments. David then charged Solomon that God had promised him that if his sons would walk in his ways and obey him, then there would not fail him a man upon the throne of Israel. Oh, he was as a father to Solomon here, speaking unto him in love and affection, knowing that soon he would leave this world, and he desired his son to do as he had done before him. May I not charge you, my hearers, as parents and as children, and as a congregation. Oh, David, his heart was filled with love to God and to his commandments, and he wished that his sons, practically he wished that every one of them would walk in his ways. And may I not charge you, my hearers, that you likewise would love the Lord, would walk in his ways, would obey his commandments. Oh, let me entreat you that you would also with your children love this same God and obey him, for then likewise his blessing shall rest upon you. Oh, if you depart from him and from his word and from his commandments, then you can find nothing else but that the curse will follow you, and it will follow you to all eternity. Oh, what a blessing to have a father like David. True, David had his faults. We have discussed them as we went through his life. But when we get on the deathbed, and we're privileged to call our children round about us, and we're privileged to speak unto them in love and affection, oh, what a mercy. It isn't everyone that has a godly father or a godly mother that can speak to their children. And it isn't everyone that's given a deathbed so that they can speak likewise to their family. Oh, how many are taken away without even saying a word to their children. How many are bowed down under the infirmities of diseases and ailments that take hold of them, and then death comes and they are gone. You know, my hearers, sometimes the dying words of parents, they remain in the conscience and in the mind of those that stood round about their bedside. Have you had a godly father? Have you had a godly mother? Have they spoken to you in love before they went? I am sure you remember that. You never forget that. And now Solomon, he was charged by David, likewise, to remember Joab, this captain in his army. This man, he had killed two men. He had murdered them, Abner and Amasa, whom David had placed in the place of Joab. And Joab, he slew both of them for fear that they would take his position away. He murdered them cold-bloodedly. And now it was the fault of David that he had not taken the life of Joab for this. David should have done this in all justice to the laws, for this man had murdered these two men. And now David speaks to Solomon and tells him, and not to let his hoar head go down to the grave in peace, for thou art a wise man, and thou knowest what thou shouldst do with him. And then he speaks about an old man by the name of Barzillai. This man had been a rich man, and he had supported David when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. When he stayed in Mahanaim, then this man had given him of his substance, and he said, do kindness unto him, and show kindness to his family, and let them eat around about the table. And then he speaks unto David about Shimei, the man that cursed David with a grievous curse when he had to flee from the city because of his son Absalom. And this man had come to David and had fallen down before him when he came back to the city of Jerusalem. Then he met David with 1,000 men of Benjamin, and he fell down before him, and he confessed that he had sinned against David, and he begged David to forgive him. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, he says, shall he not die? David said, no, he would not permit Abishai to slay him. And he swore that he would not put him to death that day. But now David, he remembers what this man Shimei had done unto him. To us, as we read this, we would think it's entirely wrong of David to bring this matter up. He's on his deathbed, and why should he concern himself about this man Shimei? He had forgiven him. He had sworn unto him that he would not kill him. I often myself have thought the same way as you do. But the commentary says that David had only sworn that day that he would not be put to death. And now David, he requires Solomon to treat this man in all wisdom and to see to it likewise that he does not come to the grave in peace. And my hearers, it proves too that the enemies of God and the enemies of his people, they most certainly shall be visited for their sins. And now we find that David, he passes away, and David died in a good old age, full of riches and of honor. This man after God's own heart, he died and went the way of all the earth. Again, this solemn thought, my hearers, you and I likewise are going to die someday. And what shall be the issue with you and I? And shall we go into the glory of the Lord? Shall we be with him? Or shall we be cast away from him? Oh, solemn thought. There are only two places we're going to, my hearers. Oh, search yourselves and examine yourselves for such a great and never-ending eternity. And now Solomon, in this same chapter, we find him going up to Gihon. This was a place where they worshiped. This was 5 miles outside of the city of Jerusalem. And now there he went to worship God. And God appeared unto him at night in a dream. And God said unto him, ask of me what thou wilt have. What a wonderful thing for God to appear unto his creature and to say, ask what thou wilt have. Suppose God came to you, my hearers. Suppose God came to you in a dream tonight, and he said to you, ask, and what wilt thou have? What would you ask? What would your desire be? Would it be material things? Would it be to be rich, to be honored, to be somebody in this world? Question yourselves, my hearers. Oh, wouldn't you know what to ask? Have you no need? Have you no desire? Have you no immortal soul that you are concerned about? Ask what I will give unto you, he says to him in a dream. Oh, my hearers, I think there are some amongst my hearers that are saying, if the Lord should come to me tonight in a dream, should say to me, ask what I shall give unto you. I think there would be many amongst my hearers that would say, oh Lord, forgive my many sins, for they trouble me so and they bother me so, and I haven't any rest because of them. Won't you forgive my sins? Are there any that would say that? Are there any that would ask that? Oh, how few. How few are troubled about sin. Oh, how few are longing to have their sins pardoned. Maybe there would be others that would say, oh, that Jesus would appear unto me. Oh, that I would know him, that I could believe in him, that I could love him, and that I could say he's mine and I am his. Would you ask something like that if God asked you what you wanted? Oh, my hearers. What did Solomon say? Solomon, he had been placed upon the throne of Israel. According to the commentary, he was only 18 years of age. He was a young man. And now he says unto God in this night that God had placed him in this position. God had placed him as king over Israel. God had lifted him up. He gives the honor to God. He didn't lift himself up. He didn't exalt himself, but God did. And he reminded God that he was faithful to his word, to David, his father, and he had placed him now over such a great people. And he felt himself to be so insignificant that he could not rule and teach and guide and judge these people who God had placed under him. And he reminds God that they were his people, and they were his Israel. He had delivered them out of the land of Egypt. And now he was placed as king over this people. And he was but a little child, he says. Therefore, give unto me a wise and an understanding heart, that I may judge this thy great people. This is what Solomon asked for. He asked for a wise and an understanding heart. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for anything that the life of his enemies would be taken away. He didn't ask for gold or silver or to be honored and exalted, but he asked in all simplicity that God would give him wisdom and understanding to be able to rule and to judge this, his great people. This, my hearers, was inspired by the Spirit of God in the heart of Solomon. Therefore he came with this request. It was honest. It was sincere. It was upright. He became as a little child as he spake to his great Creator. What know ye thereabout, my hearers? Have you ever been brought in that position to become as a little child? There isn't a better place to be. But when God brings us down and makes us little children, when we know nothing, and when we need someone to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to hold us by the hand, to protect us. What a mercy when we feel ourselves to be as a little child, needing a parent to guide us. This is what Solomon felt as he prayed unto God for a wise and an understanding heart. Do you feel that way? Do you feel that you need God to guide you, to keep you, to protect you, to save you, to deliver you from all your enemies? Or do you ever get down as a little child, and as David says in Psalm 25, teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. What a blessing when you need this great God and you need his help, his strength, his wisdom. This is what Solomon needed. He prayed that God would grant unto him that wisdom and understanding to judge this, his great people. And God was pleased with what Solomon prayed for. Can you ever believe that God was pleased with anything that you prayed for? You never believed that God's ear was open to your cry and that he was listening to you? You a poor sinner, a wretched creature. You felt so guilty and so filthy and so miserable and so undone. But by the Spirit you were given to pour out your soul unto God and to pray that he would lead you to Jesus, the fountain of all wisdom and of all understanding, that you might be saved. And did you believe while you were doing that his ear was open unto you? My hearers, What a mercy. If we get the ear of God, if we got his ear, we got his heart too, believe me. And what we have asked of him, we most certainly will receive in due time. It may take years. It may seem as if he never heard it and he'll never answer it. But oh, he comes back to what he put into your heart. He comes back to that cry. He comes back to that feeble prayer. And he reminds you of what you ask him for. And he gives you light to see and to believe that he has heard you and answered you in due time. And Solomon, he pleased the Lord with this speech. And God answered him and said that he was pleased with what Solomon had asked for. Where he had not asked for riches, nor the life of his enemies, nor for a long life, but had asked for this, he, God in heaven, would give unto him that what he had asked for. He would give unto him the wisdom and the understanding that no one else had before him or anyone else would have after him. Outside of our Lord Jesus Christ, there wasn't a wiser man on this earth than Solomon. God gave unto him an answer to his prayer. And my hearers, how liberal is this God? He gave him something that he didn't ask for. He gave him likewise riches and honor. Oh, he gave unto him such glorious majesty that there would be no king like him upon the earth. Oh, how liberal is this God that we pray to. Oh, could I but make you believe it. Oh, he giveth abundantly, more than what we can ask or think of, my hearers. And now the trouble with me and you is that we don't go to him enough to ask for it. Ah, oh, we're so seldom beggars. We're so seldom at the throne of grace. We forget this good God who is so liberal and so bountiful and so generous. Oh, how can we be the way we are? Because we have such a nature that in and through sin we have lost this God and we have no knowledge of him. We have no need of him. We go on day after day, night after night, without ever thinking about him. But oh, if you have been born again, if you have a new life in your soul, then you cannot live without prayer, my hearers. And oh, when you do pray, you are looking for an answer. And answers do not come so often, my hearers. But they do when we are in trouble, when we are in need. And sometimes they come even before we ask. Before they call, he says, I will answer them. And my hearers, this man Solomon, he was then gifted by God above all the creatures upon the earth. And this man had more wisdom than all these men that are recorded in the scriptures of the East Country. And there must have been some wise men at his time. But he excelled in all wisdom, that he made a name and a fame for himself throughout all the world, and kings and all came to him to see and to hear of his wisdom. This king, what he did between two harlots, and how he revealed his wisdom in this judgment, we hope to speak about next week, the Lord willing. Our time is gone. That's all for today.